To my husband, John, because in some ways, everything is for him. To Genevieve and her spike, figuring it out as we go. We must be willing to get rid of the life we've planned, so as to have the life that is waiting for us. The old skin has to be shed before the new one can come. Joseph Campbell. Chapter 1. Jason Schuyler, one of my best friends and favorite werewolves, stood in the morning sunlight of the kitchen. His yellow hair gleamed in the light, so that his boyishly handsome face was haloed with sunshine. But as I looked into the pure, soft blue of his eyes, I knew that devil's horns were more his style than halos, and pure was only a way to describe his eyes, not him. He'd been a precocious teenager, and his day job was still assistant manager and exotic dancer at Guilty Pleasures. The body that showed around his tank top and jogging shorts proved that he stayed in shape for his job. But none of that was what made halos seem wrong for him. He had a streak of mischief in him so strong that he couldn't quite resist pushing everything. If the situation was tense, he had to resist not making a wisecrack at the wrong moment. Since I had the same urge, it was one of our bonding moments. He and I both tended to poke the proverbial badger with a stick until it rushed out of the hole and tried to eat us. We'd both learned over the years to curb this urge, and were much happier for controlling that part of us. But Jason still had that edge of deviltry to the smile on his face, and the shine in those spring sky eyes. I pushed my own thick black curls away from my face. They fell right back against my cheek, but sometimes it's the effort that counts. I sat at the kitchen table in my long silk robe, sipping coffee and watching that smile on his face. Either he was enjoying the hell out of getting us all out of bed at this outrageously early hour, or he was hiding behind the smile. Most of us have our blank face, a version of the cop face, and Jason hid behind a grin usually. But since he also spent a lot of time actually smiling, laughing, or grinning, it was great camouflage for whatever else he was thinking. I tucked my robe a little closer across my chest, not because Jason hadn't seen me nude in the past, but because he'd asked for a conversation as his friend, not a friends-with-benefits booty call, so flashing breasts seemed inappropriate. It was tricky sleeping with someone who was actually your friend, but never quite your boyfriend. A thin line to walk between true friendship and, hey, baby. We all work nights, Jason. What was so important that you got us up this early? His grin widened, and he stepped forward enough that I could see his straight blonde hair without the sunshine special effects. He'd cut his hair again, almost businessman short. He was one of the few men I knew who really did look better in shorter hair. It seemed to open up his face and make you see that he was handsome in his own right, when he wasn't clowning around or being irritating, though honestly that last part had almost gone away. I'd met Jason when he was 19. Now, at 25, he had grown up. I was only 5 or 6 years older than he was, depending on the time of year. Our birthdays made us seem to gain or lose a year on each other. At 25 and 30, it wasn't a big age difference. At 19 and 25, it had seemed like more.
"Let's wait for everyone else," he said, and sipped his own coffee.
He didn't really drink a lot of coffee. He sipped at it and would eventually put it down about half drunk and cold. Since we ground our own beans and used a French press to make the coffee, it was a waste of good, hot caffeine. I huddled around my third cup of it, determined to make up for Jason's lack of enthusiasm. Envy walked into the kitchen. She was 5'11", so she towered over Jason and me. I was 5'3", and he was 5'4". She'd combed her thick, almost shoulder-length blonde hair, but hadn't bothered with makeup any more than I had. The strong cheekbones of her face seemed unfinished without the makeup, so that you got a glimpse of what